Shalom everyone and welcome to our zodiac study for the month of Elul Virgo under the rulership of planet Mercury. Okay, the sun, the sign of Virgo is always the sign the month before the new year, and of course the Jewish new year or the biblical new year, as we are learning, it's about a new year, and we have to understand the concept of the new year is when the universe was created, or more important, Adam was created. That is coinciding with the new moon of Libra. So that's why during the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, we say, we repeat again and again, Hayom Harat Olam. Today is the birth of the world. Now, was there anyone so many years ago to say, oh, today is like, was there a calendar? So that's not the story, because there was no one there. And if a tree fell in the forest and there was no one there, did it make a sound? Okay? Logically, of course it made a sound. Scientifically, no, it did not. Why? Because if there was no one to witness it, you're not so really sure. You are uncertain about its happening. Same thing about the creation of the universe. There was no human mind witnessing it, and I don't want to go into quantum physics, but the presence of the human mind somehow necessitates the reality of an event, of anything. Why is it that's the way the universe was created? And we read it in Genesis chapter 2, when it says that before Adam was created, nothing really happened. Nothing grew up. No rain came to satiate the ground. Everything was kind of in a suspended animation till human beings came into reality with a brain that can witness, testify, acknowledge that there is a creation. We have to understand that this is a very essential concept to understand, because this concept is basically dealing with the idea that reality is a result of our perception, which means our consciousness, the way we think, our belief systems are crucial for understanding whatever is happening to us. And yes, there are things we think we cannot control. Okay? However, we have more power to control it than we can ever imagine. And basically, the study of Kabbalah is about bringing us to the place of taking full responsibility for the way we live. Because the way we live, the way we experience reality, is a direct result of our perception, and that the way reality unfolds along our lives is a direct result of our perception. And therefore, research through the last few decades is really supportive of that, saying that basically, for instance, positive people with positive thinking, optimistic people, they are more healthy. They live longer. They're less sick. They make much more money. Matter of fact, they even came with the numbers 4 to 5 more money, 4 to 5 times more being successful in business than pessimistic people. Okay, which means it's really a step, a big step forward for science to recognize the idea how important is what we think, what we believe in, the way we perceive reality. It's all about our consciousness. So when we are basically celebrating the Hebrew New Year, and the next one is going to be 5784, okay? We're not saying that the universe was created 5784 years ago. What we're saying is that we are counting 5784 years since we started to recognize the concept of time. What happened before that, since there was no one to witness it, it's very much insignificant. It's only we can extrapolate from the way we experience reality, although we cannot measure reality before the existence of a human perception, the way we know it, we cannot understand a universe without the presence of a human perception. So therefore, and it goes with the uncertainty principle, therefore, we are not trying even to claim that we can tell about how the universe was behaving, what was the structure of time or anything before human consciousness arrived to the place it is now. Okay? The perception of time-space is like this for 5784 years. This perception did not exist the way we know it beforehand. Therefore, you cannot pretend to say you know how long did it happen. So everybody said, like science was saying, you know, the universe was created so and so many billion years ago. Was there anyone to measure time? No. So just a few weeks ago, through the all new technology of the new telescopes, and they started to be able to look into far, far, the farthest galaxies that we can see. And what that means that the light that we see came really close to the creation. And then they found out that time was five times slower than it is today. Just a second. If that is the story, how can you simply have the guts to say, I can say that something happened 2 billion years ago? You have to say something happened 2 billion years ago, assuming time was working the same way it is today. That's an assumption that you have no proof to it when you really study modern physics. So how can you have this audacity to say you know how many years the universe is existing already? Okay, so now that we settled that, we can come to understand that yes, today, this morning, there was the new moon of Virgo. But in the solar calendar, it is still the influence of Leo. However, we learn it many, many times that during the Exodus, one of the first things that God had to do in order to allow the Exodus was to hand over the decision about the frame of time to the Israelites, like to outsource it. And that's why you read Exodus 12, verse 2, when it says, and God says to Moses and to the Israelites, this month is yours. Okay? And the word yours in Hebrew, lachem, sages are saying it's also the same letters as melech, king. You are being given from now on the responsibility to determine when the zodiac signs are changing. Why? Because if you want to fight your enemies, and who are enemies? bad approach, negativity. There are many, we have a lot of enemies. And these enemies are mostly within. If you want to win the fight against them, you have to learn how to go and reach above the stars, above destiny, above whatever is determined. And we play that game since then, every Shabbat before the new moon, in every synagogue around the world, the time of the new moon is being declared. And immediately after that, the whole congregation announces when is the new month starting. Sometimes, because we have to remember, a lunar cycle is 29 and a half days approximately. You can't start a new month in the middle of a day. So sometimes we have one day of a new moon, and sometimes we have 2 days. So there's a span. So then you have, when you have 2 days, like this year, this month, you have 2 days of the new moon of Elul. The last day is the 30th of Av, Leo. And the second day of the new moon, 2 days, is the first day of Virgo. So yes, although it is the date on the Hebrew calendar of tonight, okay, is the 30th of Leo, which means Thursday is the 30th of Av, Leo, but still the new moon happened already this morning, and this is already the power of the month of Virgo. It can be perplexing, but the whole thing you have to remember, we came to this reality to perform our ability to be creators. And to be creators means independence, means creativity, it means giving. And it means to be able to have some control over your destiny. And one of the easiest way it looks like to make a be on control is that we decide when the new moon is starting. The moment we have that power, in that moment it puts us in a level in which we are in on the deciding side. Remember that. So basically, it doesn't matter what does it say in the stars, the final word is our response, behavior, consciousness, perception of reality. Which means, if you're not training your perception and your consciousness and your worldview, if you're not training it to become more positive, optimistic, and strong, it's like, what do you think you're doing? You're wasting your time. So how do you do that? That's the way what studying Kabbalah is about. Studying Kabbalah is about learning how to basically train a spiritual, positive perception of reality, because reality follows our perception. People of vision, as crazy they can become, they have the ability to divert reality, not just for themselves, also for the rest of the world. Okay, so remember that. And, you know, it's like what Steve Jobs used to say, that the crazy people who said they are going to change the world, they are the ones who did change the world. So if you want to be part of that craziness, and feel that you can join partnership with the creator in completing his creation, that's the name of the game. And as long as you don't understand that, you will not be really able to understand what life is about. And then you have this kind of reactive attitude of either giving up or you think you're going to make everything and then you get burned out and then you give up later on. It's more than just the way we see that. But it's all about the way we perceive or determine who we are and what is it, what we want to become. Now, so when we're coming to the month of Elul, Virgo, There are few concepts in simple concepts in the study of Kabbalah, the tree of life. How do you define what any sign is about? So because of for that, we need to use this special chart. Okay, and that chart you see, there is a division, four divisions to the whole cycle. And you see, spring is the first quarter, summer is the second quarter, the fall is the third, and winter is the fourth. Why four? So we can see that the spring is basically a that aspect of the dimension of time is under the rulership of the Hebrew letter Yud, which is part of the Tetragrammaton, the holy name of God that you're not supposed to pronounce, okay? Because you have no perception of it, so you cannot pronounce it. And that season of the spring is connected to the Yud, as we said, Sfirat Chochmah. And Sfirat Chochmah means raw energy, raw naked energy. And that's why the element of the whole spring is fire, which means energy and creativity, mobility, transformation, and so on. And that's why we see when we look at the three signs of the spring, it's very, very energetic, very creative, very powerful. Okay? It's like this is what the spring is about. So then when we want to learn about this season, when we are, it's like, so it's the summer. And the summer is the second season that corresponds to the Hebrew letter Hey, and also to the Sfirat Bina. The element of the summer is water. Okay, why water? Because the main power of the summer, Bina is giving and sharing, and that is water. It's all about sharing, and water is also the symbol of emotions. Okay, emotions. So we see that all three signs, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, they have this very strong drive to be sensitive. A very strong drive to share with others. Okay? So we know that Cancerians are very obsessed about giving and sharing with others. It's like the epitome of the Jewish mother. You know, other nations' mothers, I saw it's also. It's the being obsessed about giving, feeding the kids. Intervening with their lives and so on. That's Cancer. Leo is also very obsessed in showing people the way and forcing themselves upon others. And Virgo, they do it in a different way. They are more into service. They're into the aspect of service, which is very, very common among Virgos. It could be all kinds of healers. Alternative healers could be medicine, especially nurses. There's a lot of stuff that you can connect to Virgo, but there was one thing about this is about giving. So we have Virgo in the core is a water. Although, did you say that Virgo is earth? Yes, it's also earth. But by the core, it belongs to the summer month. So we're talking about giving. Okay? Now, it's also the central column of the summer months. Cancer is right column, Leo is left column, center is Virgo. So that's why Virgo has a very strong influence of air because from the three elements, central column is air. So it's kind of the air of the earth signs. Who are the earth signs? Look at it. You can find them in a very interesting pattern. So you have Taurus. Sorry. We have Capricorn in the winter, which then it is a right column because it's the first month of the winter. Then the following season is spring. Over here, the Earth is number two in the spring, and in the summer, Virgo, the Earth is number three. Okay? So it's like a huge kaleidoscope that every cycle has its own different pace. So, what do we have in Virgo? So, it's a central column of the summer. So, it's really looking for balance, stabilization. Okay, it's also an earth sign, which also is going for stabilization. Okay, about stability, about the financial, emotional, whatever. So in Virgo, we have a combination. It's a water sign because it's part of the summer. It's an air sign because it's the third in the summer. And central column is always air. And it is also an earth sign because another cycle of four is a cycle that we can see, as we said, right? The right column of the winter is Capricorn Earth. Left column of the spring is a Taurus, which is Earth. Central column of summer, that's Virgo, which is also Earth. So you have right, left, center. Okay? And that means that you have now the earth overlaying upon the water. So, yes, we should be in giving, but that should be also bringing us something in return. Okay, that's earth. And earth is about manifestation. So when we put these two together, put these three together, because it's a water from the season giving air because it's central column in the summer. That means a lot of thinking, rationalization of stuff. And then it's earth sign, which is again rationalization and putting everything into production, into action. So we have water, air, and earth. This mixture is very weird. Okay, although the water and the earth, they can go together, but the air is it's kind of a something is not in place. So what you see about Virgo, that it is about practicality, it is about actions, it is about doing things. However, it's always rationalized, okay? And it has an obsession, kind of obsessive giving. So that's somehow to define from the chart of the Rizal, Rabbi Zachariah, to define the qualities of the sign of Virgo. And now we go into more details to understand, to figure it out much better. So here we have in the month of Elul, the tribe for the month of Elul, because there are 12 tribes of Israel, each one of them represents one zodiac sign. The tribe is Zevulun. Now you have to understand what does it mean Zevulun? Zevulun is the word Zevulun comes from the word Zvul. Zvul means the temple. So, in that consciousness framework of Zevulun, we are talking about a perfect state in very holy. And we know that the most, if you know, if you're going into nature, nature is holy because it's very symmetrical, very organized, very much put into order. Okay, so When we're talking about Zevulun, we're talking about this aspect of the creation that manifests itself in the month of Virgo. It's about creating a holy space. That's why you have a lot of Virgos who are into designing, into architecture. It's all about how do we create a feeling of holiness, of a temple. And that's why the name is Zevulun. Okay, let's see how that unfolds in the other components, the basic components of this sign. So first of all, when we see about Zevulun, it says that Zevulun was a trader, and he financed his brother Issachar, that was a scholar, sitting and studying. And Zevulun is supporting Issachar. Because so we learn from that about the Zevulun, it's about practical, about, I'm about sharing, but I'll also need to, address the needs of reality, and I need to make it happen. How do you do that? So we look at the letters of the month according to the book of formation. We know that the month of Mercury, the month of Virgo, is ruled by the planet Mercury. Okay, and the planet Mercury was created according to Abraham the patriarch in his book, the book of formation. It is determined as the letter Resh. Resh, if you look at the letter, you see that it is empty inside. It doesn't have a belly. It doesn't have a body. It's all about give it to me because I'm never satiated, I'm never full. Okay, so the moment you see that, you define the word, the name for this planet, the name of the letter of the planet, Resh. Now we know that in some Indo-European languages, especially European languages, Resh means rich. But in Hebrew, Resh means poor. Same word, the opposite meaning. Now the question is, what makes somebody poor? What makes somebody rich? So the question is like this: when we are hungry, that's a letter Resh. What is it that we are hungry for? What is that we crave for? And the answer of the sages, we were designed to be divine creature, to be godly creature. And because of that, the letter Resh is very important. It is empty within because it is to signal poverty. And we know that necessity is the mother of all inventions. Now, when you're connected to the letter Resh, to the consciousness of the letter Resh, that means desire to shift, to move, to change, to do everything possible in order to bring us to the fulfillment, the true fulfillment of I got it. In order for that to happen, you need to be poor, which means you need to know that you're missing something, which means if you live in a beautiful mansion and with a nice swimming pool outdoor and another nice swimming pool indoor, and you have the most beautiful garden, you have the most beautiful cars parking in front of your house, and you have the key, you own them, and you can drive them anytime you want. Okay? And you were conditioned since you are a baby to need that stuff, to want that stuff. And what we know is that you are becoming very poor because the more you're trying to stuff yourself with physical fulfillment, the more hungry you become. And then you take the journey to look for your real calling, because the letter Resh is about I'm not satisfied with what I've got. I have, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I crave for more because whatever I have is not satisfied. Okay, therefore Mercury is a very, how should I say, a very transformative planet. Just a second. So the letter Resh, which means poor, it's really saying that when you are trying to fulfill yourself with all materialistic stuff, but you're still hungry for the real thing. So Mercury is about the drive, the need, the hunger to make a connection. Okay, so and here and Virgo, on the other hand, you can see that this is Virgo was created according to the Book of Formation by the Hebrew letter Yud, and the letter Yud is a number 10, which is basically the complete system. You know, if you want something 1 to 10, you want it 10. Okay, Virgo is about wanting number 10, which means you have the drive for perfection, and this is amplified by Mercury's hunger for being fulfilled. And because of that, we know that the people of that are being influenced by Mercury, they're always hungry to move on for knowledge, for wisdom, for understanding, because they do not get satiated by the bluff, by the fake. So in Virgo, you have a very magical combination between Mercury, the letter Resh, and Virgo, the letter Yud, which is about, you know, it's not enough till I have the real thing. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that the month of Virgo, it's all about the look, the drive for perfection. The drive to look for perfection and to do it with many times as obsession. So like regular Virgos or people that have Virgo in their chart, like rising sign or their moon or fewer planets in Virgo, it's all about, you see, the OCD, which means, you know, there is a drive to do not compromise with less than perfect. We know it can really mess things up, but basically, those people who had this OCD drive for perfection, these are the ones that really made the difference and moved the world fast forward. So you do not underestimate Virgo. And that's why when you say that Zevulun is about the temple, so you have the drive for Virgos to create that sacred space. And so, as we said, we have them magical designers. You know, they can come in, look at something, move some stuff, draw something, and then it becomes magically symmetrical, harmonious, and that's called the highest form of art, which means to deliver the message of wholeness, perfection. And that's what Virgo is about. Therefore, the Zohar is saying that the name of the month of Virgo is Betulah. Betulah, virgin. But why, where is the word coming from in Hebrew? And the Zohar is saying the word Betulah is coming from Betuel, Beito, Beit El, the house of God. So what is a virgin? This is a woman that is basically the way God created her in a perfected state. And we know women, can reach perfection much faster than men, and they don't need to get married to reach perfection. The ones who have to get married to get perfection, according to the Torah, is the men, which means the woman, she's coming complete and perfected from the Creator. Oh, she takes upon herself stuff to correct, but it's easier for women to reach that tune of spiritual perfection. And we know that women are much, generally, statistically, are much more spiritual and aligned with themselves and with reality than men. Men, a lot of men, they never grew up. They stay always irresponsible children. It's like they're in denial that we came for a purpose, and the purpose is find our goal, find our calling, go for it, and push and push and push as much as you can till you get as close as possible to perfection. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Just collecting money. And here we have the catch. The whole thing about Virgo reaching perfection is a double-edged sword, says the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. Some people look for the, Virgo, but you can find Virgo in every person. You can find all 12 zodiac signs. How do you see that? You see, those people are very critical. They're full of criticism. No one is perfect. You see this guy? He has these and these faults. See that guy? These are these faults. Okay? These are the people that their drive for perfection is outside. And therefore, they are always, what's the word? Critical, not easy to get with, unpleasant, because they always complain about somebody else's faults. The problem is, somebody else's faults are not really your business, unless it is your business. Let's say, if you are a designer, if you are an architect, okay, it is your business to see what's wrong, but at the same time, to see the bigger picture and to see how you perfect it. What are the chances you need so you create a sacred environment, a sacred space that when somebody walks into it, it doesn't matter if it's a public space or private space of any kind, that the person will feel perfectly what they need to feel in that space. Virgos, this is art. They have this nature. Or you see what's wrong with somebody else, and you can analyze exactly what's wrong with them because you are a physician, you are a nurse, you are dealing with healing in certain alternative way. There's so many ways treating people. So when you find what's wrong with somebody else, is not to be annoyed about it, but in order to fix it. And says the Baal Shem Tov, and when it's the highest level, when you're looking inside to see the imperfection, again, not to feel bad about it, but in order to learn how to transform it and to perfect it, which is basically the calling of every human being. So you have those Virgos are very not spiritual. They can see very easily what's wrong because they have this very high sensitivity. And that's why if you want, for instance, to do proofreadings, give it to a Virgo. They can look at the page and without reading, they can sense where are the mistakes. It's amazing. It's amazing because they have a gift. The point is like this: if you're not spiritual, you see the blemishes everywhere, and you're busy criticizing, and you become a bitter, unpleasant person, and nobody wants to be with you. Especially, you want to get married like this. Who wants to get married to somebody like this? That always complaining about whatever you do, it's never good enough. Okay, who wants to have a spouse like this? You don't want to. It's hell. Or, as the Baal Shem Tov said, you focus on finding what's wrong with somebody when it's your profession to perfect it. Or you focus inwardly in order to fix yourself. And that brings us to the other name of this month, the month of Teshuvah. Okay, what is Teshuvah? Usually it is being translated as repentance. The Zohar somehow agrees, but not all the way. Because the real meaning of the word Teshuvah is very simple. It's made of Teshuv, return, hey, the letter hey. The letter hey represents human existence in here in this world. Okay, that's a letter hey. When we were created as humanity, we were created, as the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto explained, we were created purposely away disconnected from the Creator. Why? So we can return ourselves the hey, our reality, our existence, back to the network of the Tree of Life. Why? Because when we were created in the image of God, that meant image of God means that God takes nothing. He needs nothing. That's why we're feeling shame when we are in need. When our shortcomings and failures are exposed, okay, we were our calling is to be like the Creator, where it says, Adame, La'elyon, I should make myself resemble to the Creator. How can I make myself resemble to the Creator? So our sages say, Hadavek b'midotav, you should attach to his attributes. What are the attributes of the Creator? It is either independence, which means my happiness, my well-being is not dependent on others. Okay, I can reach that well-being without obsessive, needy actions of making others responsible for my happiness. That never brings to good ending. Okay, creativity, I have to create it on my own, and sharing, it's all about compassion, loving, kindness, giving, caring, helping, treating others in order to find my calling. Okay? That's why you find a lot of healers who are very good. As I said, it's very easy for them to analyze or define the problem so they can fix it. Okay? Because they're very good at both. So again, what is teshuva? When a person raises themselves so high so they return back to connect to the tree of life. By the law of affinity, similarities attract. Water attracts water, oil attracts oil. Water and oil, they don't get along. The Creator is the perfection. The Creator is the awesome reality of the tree of life. Our job in this world, as we said, we were created away, disconnected from Him, so we can perfect ourselves and reconnect. That's why Teshuvah comes, return the hay back to its place. Okay, so how do we return? By changing who we are, by perfecting it. So therefore, the month before the Hebrew New Year is a month of Virgo, because it's like the last, in a marathon run, the most important thing is like the run towards the finish line. This is now the last month before the finish line. Like, exactly a month from now, the new year is coming. I want to reach the highest level of perfection for me that I can reach. And for that, I need Virgo. I need that zest, that hunger, that drive for perfection. I need to internalize Virgo in me so the quest for the perfect state, the perfect being. How do we do it? As we said, realigning our desires, our wants. This is the perfect month to do that. Again, realigning, finding the tune-up, the really listening. It's easier to listen to our own inner calling, the perfect sound, so we can stay away from all the fake sounds, especially nowadays. As we just say, let's read a little bit from the Bnei Sakhar. Bnei Sakhar, a great Hasidic rabbi living in the 19th century in Eastern Europe. And he just made a compilation of all the texts known in the ancient writings in Judaism that are somehow connected to astrology. So he explains to us about the sign of Virgo. And he's bringing all kinds of letters combinations to show that this month is a month that is especially what's the word? It's a month that is created to help us to do teshuva. Why do I need to do teshuva, especially in this month? Because as we are coming to the end of the Hebrew calendar, as we come into the new moon of Libra, exactly a month from now, something really important is happening. What's happening is that the whole world is coming back to the creation. So the whole world needs to get fed from the source of life for another year. Now, the closer I am to the tree of life, which means vibration and affinity, the easier it is for the creator to feed me, sustain me for another year. But the farther I am from my calling, from my perfection, from my real being, the farther I am far into the realm of lies and deception. I'm talking about myself, my own self. It will be harder for the creator to charge and feed my soul. And therefore, when we pray on Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days following, till Yom Kippur, when we pray for a year, that we pray for life, and the sages are saying, what does it mean, life? It means, how do you live? Quality. Do you really internalize the tree of life? Can you really attach to that cloud connection, to that network system of the tree of life, which means you're really going to be alive? Or you did not really connect to life on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You're still busy with all kinds of fake stuff, which means the next year, maybe you will physically be alive, but you'll be a living dead. What does it mean? You're bitter, you're not satisfied, you don't feel at home, you're afraid, you're anxious. It's all about the connection we do on Rosh Hashanah. And remember, when the Israelites committed the horrible sin of the golden calf, okay, the horrible sin of the golden calf, Moses comes again to the mount on the new moon of Elul, Virgo. He stays there for 40 days. He comes down with the forgiveness and teshuva on Yom Kippur, which is 40 days from now. Okay? So some sages are saying the sin of the golden calf happened for one reason: to show the world you can really go off track terribly and you can still fix it. So the next 40 days are special days because there's a universal atmosphere, energy field that helps us redirect ourselves toward a real tune of the real perfect state, the real calling we have. That's called teshuva, which means returning ourselves to what we were supposed to be from the beginning. Now, therefore, this month is, he says, the Yisachar, Mazal Elul Betula, the sign of the month of Elul, Betula, Virgo, in numerical value, is, you can find it in Psalms 113, verse 9. 113, 9. Em habanim smicha hallelujah. The mother of the children is happy. Hallelujah. You should know, the Zohar, he says, the Zohar teaching us that teshuvah, return to where? Return to the Supreme Mother. What's the Supreme Mother? The Supreme Mother is the motherly love, Bina, that feeds. Like, who feeds us, humanity? You know, who feeds the child? His mother, right? His mother can breastfeed him, the father cannot. Okay, so the mother symbolism is about who feeds us. It's like the female aspect of God is what's in power in the next 40 days. Why? It is about feeding us humans. What is teshuvah? Going back to this place of motherly love. And that's why these 40 days, especially the 30 days of Elul, are about going back to who we really are. And that's why he continues. There's something about this month that it is about finding the truth. Now remember, we in our current generation era, people are really frustrated. Whoever you talk to, people are saying you don't know who to listen to. You listen to the news, it's like, wow, horrible. Incitement, hatred, nothing. It's all about opinionated. Finally, you have to remember, it was always like this, but we were not aware of it. Why? Because there were always the sound of truth was hidden by a lot of noise. The truth was always censored. Now that the world is changing, transforming into teshuvah, we have one of the major facts is that you have this open access to information, and we start to be very confused because we start to realize that, I don't know if you realize that, but that was always, we were always brainwashed to think what some higher powers, I'm talking about in government and economy, wanted us to think. It was all about conditioning. Today we live in a society that is all about addiction. We are being weaned to be addicted since we are babies. The whole thing about TV programs for kids, movies for kids, it's all about training us to be consumers, to buy, to shop, to get. What's going to satisfy us? What's going to satisfy us? Something that you buy. If you don't buy it, it's not satisfying. So you grow until you realize that we are in a big plague of addictions. Addictions to mostly shopping, mostly buying, and a lot of stuff that we can't afford. So we become in debt to the banks, and it's all about consuming. And the moment people stop consuming what they don't really, really, really need, because they have no need for that, the economy is, that's how, the leading forces, the economy will collapse. So it's all about, shopping and buying and, already have a nice coat. Yeah, but this season, there's a new trend and you have to fit in. I don't want to fit in. This is what's happening right now. We are in the process of teshuva. So we are confused. And being confused is amazing because when we are confused, we might find the truth. When we are in certainty, the problem, it means that usually, most chances, you're so brainwashed, there's no space. There's no space for you to find the truth. There's no drive to find the perfection because everything is great, everything is okay. So that's, in a nutshell, what Virgo is about. We can add to it the whole thing about the planet Mercury. And planet Mercury, we all know, in regular astrology, it's about communication. Why communication? Because, as we said, air. And there's a need. And the resh, which means poverty, which means need. So it's all about communicating. What is communication? If you're talking about the intellectual level, so that means looking for wisdom, looking for information, and information, free access to information leads to real freedom. If you don't have access to information, you have no freedom. And that's why all dictatorships, the first thing they did was censorship. And even in countries that we thought they're democratic, it was always being dictated. So the right thing will be heard so people will know what is the right thing. Today, we don't know. Today, you read the media and it's so easy. I don't read media if I don't have place. There's no place for talkbacks. Why? I don't know if the guy is saying the truth, and I would like to know what other people say about it. When people react and bring facts that negate or support the writer, so now I have more tools to evaluate the information I got. So it's all about communication. So when we are communicating to information that leads us to freedom, which means the freedom to decide what is right, what is the truth for me, when nobody dictates what's supposed to be the truth. Okay? And today everybody tries to educate us. Everybody tries. That's basically brainwashing and censorship in different ways. The problem is today it's annoying because we are aware of it. For most history, we were not aware of it, so it didn't annoy us so much. So we are on the journey towards real freedom. Okay, now, so basically, as we said, if Betula is about the house of God, it means we have to use the power of this month through for tune-up. Retune our needs, urges, desires. Realign our goals. Realign our belief systems. That should be done through a lot of study, meditation, listening, and opening ourselves because the month, the planet Mercury says, in it's the Rabbad. Rabbi Avraham Ben David of Foskiris, he his commentary on Sefer Yetzirah, he says, Mercury is about communication to wisdom. It's about communication to the truth. He is the one who connects because Mercury is about connecting the salesperson. He's connecting between the product and the needs of the customer. Okay, but in the higher level, the connection between the creator and us that has to be restored. This is the main idea of Teshuvah, the main idea of coming to the last month of the year. So it's like the finish line is very close. So we come to the next coming year more attuned to the truth, to spiritual truth, to our real goals. So we can have a beautiful, positive, upgraded year in the coming year. Thank you so much, and Chodesh Tov.